But that's not why I wanted us to watch this video. And why I want to do this series, because I want us to stop and think for a moment about our Christianity, our brand of Christianity. Since this very first video, I have thought about this. And I shared a quote from a man this morning in Sunday school. He's an older theologian from the 1800s, 1900s. A man by the name of Emil Brunner, and he made this quote. He said, "The church exists by a mission, just like a fire exists by a flame. We know it's a fire because we see and we feel the flame. We know it's a church because we see and experience the mission of the church." I shared with them that there's a possibility that if you would line up 100 people and you'd hand out cards and you'd have them write on the card, Wayne may preach his sermon in the next month or so, what is the mission of the church? You'd fill out the mission of the church. For most of the world, and for people that I deal with on nearly a daily, they think the mission of the church is to help the poor, and I am poor. I need money. That's the mission of the church. I've heard that so many times. A man in front of our church out here in the parking lot who made the statement, "That's why you guys are here, because I need help." He only needed $1,500 for his house payment. Okay. Others would say the church is a place where I can come and feel like I belong to something. The church is a place where I can come and I can feel safe and I can feel wanted. The church is a place where my children can come and they can hear about Jesus. The church is this, the church is that. When with our own eyes we look at the church this morning, and it's a church that to me is foreign. It's foreign to me because in a while I'll go home and walk through the front door of my house and be met by my dogs, and I'll be able to sit down and watch the news and know that ISIS is thousands of miles away and they're not in Salida yet, and I can go to the refrigerator and I can take out a bottle of water and go get a cookie. It's totally foreign to me because I have. No one has ever come into my house at gunpoint and told me, "Leave. Pay the dhimmi tax that Islam will take from you. If you pay the tax, then you can stay and live. But if you don't pay it, you're going to die, or you're going to convert to Islam, or you're going to get out of the place." And hundreds and thousands have made that journey with nothing, literally, but the shirt on their back. No cars, nothing. The ISIS took it all. So I see this church and it's foreign to me. And then I think the scripture that Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, "All those that would like to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I sit at my breakfast table, I open the Mountain Mail, and I hear the latest from Frank Waxman or some of the other guys and how they get down on Christians. I think, "I'm persecuted." And then I look at this and I say, "I'm not so much." Open your Bibles this morning for just a little while to the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. There is something that Jesus taught us that they have experienced and they know is reality. And he taught us the same thing. But I'm not sure we've seen it. Verse 11. And when you pray, pray in this manner. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth just like it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. And here is the difference. These are forced to trust God every day. There are some in this world that need to believe for every day. There are some that believe I will find enough money to get a fix so I can make it through the day. There are some that believe that I can do one more job and I will have enough money and I can buy my dope for the next month, or I can buy me several cases of beer, or I can do this, I can do that. But these people are believing for their very sustenance. The people who are living in the place is saying, God every day gives us our food. That's how God taught the Israelites. He said, we could go across and we could get right to the promised land in just a week or so, but we're not going. We're going by way of the wilderness. Why? So you will learn to trust me. These people are learning to trust God, and they're doing it very, very well. There was nothing to feed them. Some time ago, I mentioned in a sermon what it would take for the people that came out of Egypt and were going to the promised land. If you had to provide food, water, and wood for heat every day for the maybe 3.5 million people that came out of Egypt, it would take 151 train loads of stuff every day. You get 3.5 people moving through the wilderness, firewood is going to be at a premium. You ain't going to find anything to burn. You're not going to find game out there, deer and rabbits, and well, they couldn't eat rabbits, they could eat deer and stuff, but you're not going to find it. When they got down, they began to cry out to Moses, not to God, they cried out to the leader. Why? We were better off in Egypt. At least over there we had leeks and onions. My pastor in Fairbanks used to call them leeches and onions. Over there we had this, and God provided for them manna. They would wake up in the morning and there it was. It was laying on the ground. They would go out and gather what they needed. They didn't store it up. There is nobody that I could see in this situation that might be storing up of anything. The early church did not store up. They took what came in and they gave it to people that needed it. Pure socialism. That's a whole other subject, because that really grates on people's nerves. It was giving. It wasn't the government taking from them and giving it to somebody else. It was the love in people's hearts that made sure somebody else had something. And I will bet you that in one of those bags, there may be 9 kids in a family, but there's only 3 pairs of pajamas. I'll bet you that somewhere down the line, somebody's coming and said, I don't need those 3 pairs of pajamas, but I know somebody that does. They don't store up. And God gave them manna when there was nothing in this world to eat. He gave them the bread from heaven. It was a trial. You read in Deuteronomy, he says about this manna, he says, "Behold, I lay before you life and death." And then he talks about manna. You see, you've got enough on this day to eat. And then on the weekend, you went out Friday night and you got enough for the weekend, for the Sabbath, so you didn't work on the Sabbath. And that lasted. But there was no going out on Tuesday night and getting a big bunch and saying, "Well, I don't feel like going shopping tomorrow. I'm just going to get a big box full and we'll eat on that tomorrow." No, because it was full of canker worms. It was full of death. God was teaching the Israelites every day to trust Him. Give us this day our daily bread. God, I believe, is wanting us to begin to think about this very thing. That times are coming when our responsibility will be each other. And we'll have to meet the needs of one another. That's why people like Voice of the Martyr and Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse are doing the things that they're doing. Because we have the ability in this country to help somebody else. But I don't think we're ready to get to the place because I've got a refrigerator with cold water and a cupboard full of cookies. I don't need to trust God. But I believe the day is coming. We're seeing with our own eyes what's happened in the past. And if we ignore history, someone said we are doomed to repeat it again. The yellow stars, Juden written underneath the yellow stars in Nazi Germany in the late 30s. And now it's the Christians' turn. The letter N, that's not a happy face. When I first time I looked at this, I said, "Why they got the happy face here?" It's not. It's not Sada. It means Christians live here. Therefore, do what you want to do to these Christians. I'm not ready for that. But my Bible tells me that there is coming a day when we will have to make a choice. We will accept the mark of the beast and therefore we will be allowed to buy, sell, and trade. Or we will suffer the loss of everything for Jesus Christ. These people are making a choice. You don't have to worry about taking the mark of the beast by accident. Having a credit card is not going to be your mark of the beast. Having a computer, I don't want a computer because the mark of the beast is coming. You're going to make a decision to someone, to stand in front of someone, or perhaps a video screen, and say, "Yes, here's my head, here's my hand." We see it happening before our eyes. And God is saying to the church today, you know how they're making it? They're trusting God for every single thing in their lives. Manna comes from heaven and feeds them. Jesus comes from heaven and feeds us. The old man said in there, I love the theology. It wasn't perfect English, but his theology was good. That God came in the form of Jesus Christ and He died for me. What makes Him able to go day by day by day? He keeps His eyes on Jesus. I'll tell you, if I had to focus on Donald Trump to think that my life is going to be organized and it's going to change and be better, holy Lord, help us. Don't you dare tell me you're looking at Hillary Clinton. Don't you dare say that. What I'm saying is this. We keep our eyes like the writer of Hebrews tells us that we're looking at Jesus Christ. We're focused on Jesus Christ. Keeping your eyes upon Jesus, who loved you and gave Himself for you. Every day. Every day, God. Not Sunday, God. Here's the problem with the church. We have Sunday God. Church is going on there. People are coming to Jesus. How are they coming to Jesus? They are watching these people. They're watching how they live. They see what they've gone through. They see smiles and testimonies that can't be taken away from them. Yes, sir. I don't know if you saw the two images of the crucified men that were there. I don't know if you saw the image of the man who was bound hand and foot behind and flying through the air. He's a homosexual that has been thrown off a building because he's homosexual. People are seeing that happen. And the Spirit of God is able to work with fields that are becoming ripe, because people are saying there's got to be more than this life that I live. And they're coming to Christ literally by the droves. Get on the website and go to Voices of the Martyr. Read the testimonies of things that are happening. Why? Because people are living for Jesus. Every day of the week. They're not trusting in things. Their bank accounts have been taken away from them. Their homes have been taken away from them. Their cars have been taken away from them. Their freezers and cupboards have been taken away from them. My God, what would happen in this country? 16 years ago, Y2K. Anybody remember that? Trusting in God? They were trusting in God long lines, getting into Sam's buying generators. In Fairbanks, Alaska, you could not find 10 pounds of potatoes. You couldn't find 50 pounds of rice. You could not find a generator. Cars were lined up in gas stations, and the people were going to the banks, and they were going to cash in their money. They wanted it all, quarters, dimes, and nickels. People were coming out with bags of cash. Why? We had people in our church doing that. I told them, and I believe this with all of my heart. If I didn't believe, I wouldn't have said it. I said, if you need it, God can cause a moose to walk up to your front door and die right there. That big mud puddle you got out there in January or February or March, when you're starving, here comes a run of salmon up into your mud puddle. God can take care of that. How do you know? He brought manna from heaven. He brought quails from the east. He brought Jesus from heaven when I had nothing else. And God is looking for that church. And I believe that little things like this are a blessing of God to give us a little visualization of what is and what can be if we will get our eyes off our stuff. I will tell you that God is not above taking your stuff. Because there's always something better. You shall suffer persecution. Jesus talked about manna from heaven, and He said, I am the bread of life. The devil tried to get him to make bread. But Jesus had a purpose that was greater than eating. Boy, if I had the power to put together bread and that was 40 days out, the temptation was a real temptation. But if he had done it, he'd have given up God's plan in his life. And he hung on to what God's plan was. And then when he said, I am the bread from heaven, if any man eat my flesh and drink my blood, he will never hunger. What happened? They walked off. They said, this saying is way too hard. This is too hard for me. This is just too hard for me. Could it be that once again Jesus, the testimony of Jesus will come to a point that people will turn their backs and say, no, this is just too hard for me. Just too hard for me. Never happened. We got people that don't come to this church, they don't like who's preaching. People go out because they don't like the music. I don't feel the Spirit. And we think that we're going to stand in the face of the enemy like that. People that don't want to associate with you in here because God told me not to. Wait. 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 It's coming. It's coming. May not be in my lifetime, but it's coming. I pray for my grandsons constantly. My great-granddaughter constantly. Because of the world that they're coming into. They may see this stuff. I don't think I will. I pray I don't. Did you ever think you'd see anything like this in a nation of the world? I might say that the Iraqis took back Mosul this morning, though. Hallelujah. Did you ever think to see the stuff that we hear going on in this country right now? 5 years ago, did you ever think you'd hear it? No. Don't say it can't happen here, because it can. I can sit down in my chair. I can say, soul, take your ease. You got a freezer full of elk. You got your wife's garden's got a garden full of lettuce, and the beans are coming up, and the peas are coming up. And then somebody takes out the power to Salida. They don't have to work real hard, I don't think, to take the power out of Salida, because it pretty much, I think somebody honks their horn too many times on Highway 50 and the power goes out. But when the power goes out and my freezer goes dead, now what do I do? Now what do I do? Get that gas in the generator, amen. I got that generator, but you should have seen the day after Y2K. The people, I laughed, I thought it was so funny. There they are in the line at the customer service going, kicking their generators up there to get their money back. Are we ready? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Are we willing to stand on that fact right now? Are we willing to stand in front of the world and say, I am ready, Jesus Christ lives in my life. I don't care what you do to me or to my family. We are not changing the fact that Jesus is my Lord. We better start making decisions right now. No matter what happens, I will offer my body a living sacrifice. Or a real one if I have to. Story of a little lady in Sudan. Islamists came into her community. She was a young lady. She got saved. Missionary was in her town. She got saved. She was so in love with Jesus, and her little congregation were the kids. And she would teach them out of the Bible that they gave her, to the point that the parents started coming and the congregation was getting bigger, and she would stand there and she would teach them. She didn't go to no seminary. She just loved Jesus and she told them the words what God gave to her. And the psalmist came. They didn't kill her. They took her hands and they cut her wrists right here down through the tendons so she couldn't pick up her hands. And they said, "Now, teach us. Get your Bible and teach us." She got down on the ground. She was trying as best she could to get the Bible into her hands so she could pick it up. Are we ready? Are we ready? Would you bow your heads, please? I'm so blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit in this place today. You see, that's the power the early church had. But I think that an even equal power that made them what they are is their ability to face persecution with smiles. When Peter was thrown in prison, the church got together and said, "Our brother's in jail. Let's pray." Holy Spirit, teach us. Quicken us to the reality that we face. That it could all change in just a moment. We need to trust in You every day. Lord, I pray for Your people. I pray for myself. Lord, whatever it takes, let us be ready. Let us draw closer to You. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, suffering its shame. What Jesus bought and what Jesus paid for, the world needs. And Father, when the time comes, when You once again ask for witnesses, martyrs, let us understand that was Your command to us. That was Your challenge to us. That was Your promise to us. That we would become martyrs in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. In Salida, Chaffee County, Colorado, to the United States, we will be witnesses. Make us ready. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I pray that this morning that you're able to grasp just a little bit of what people around the world are going through. Pray for them. Pray for them. If your desire is to help them, get on the net, Voice of the Martyrs. They'll tell you exactly what needs to be done. But let us pray for one another, that when the time comes, we'll be ready. Amen.